Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I'm telling you, I had an epiphany last night. I had an epiphany this morning. It's just one of these things where I'm just waking up and ideas are just flowing out of me. And one of the things that just came to me was that people don't get it. I'm talking about financially. They don't get it. Maybe don't get it about a lot of things. But the bottom line is this, is that the older I get, the worse the problem gets. Back in the day when people believed they had to take care of themselves, they did all kinds of stuff, but most of it was hard work. You tried to work your way into success. You tried to build yourself a life, a family, a job, a career. And all those were good things, all American kind of things to do. But once you got stuck on believing that work was what made it all happen, you became mesmerized to believe that success is directly related to work. Now, there's a lot there. It really does. There's a lot to that. The problem is that financial success is not related directly to work. Financial success is directly related to leverage. What do you have working for you that's not you? Do you have your money working for you? Do you have your intelligence working for you? Do you have your credit working for you? Do you have your physical body working for you? Do you have other people working for you? OPP, other people. You know, OPM, other people's money. OPC, other people's credit. What do you have working for you? Now, most of you have very little working for you. You have a job that's working for you. But what happens when you get older? And I'm going to go into a story about that later in the show. But what happens when you get older and really work becomes difficult? And then after difficult, it becomes very difficult. And then after very difficult, it becomes almost impossible. And then at some point, it becomes impossible. So work is off the table, but that's the only thing you've done to make money. So then you look at, well, where is your money? I've traveled all over the world. I've got a car that's incredible. And maybe you don't even have that level of spending. Just whatever it is you make, you spend. So your money is doing nothing for you. Money, zero. Maybe you've got some in a savings account somewhere. You've got it in a 401k, which every once in a while becomes a 201k. You don't see it. You don't touch it. It doesn't do anything for you. It's just there. And you're just praying, hoping and praying that it'll be there when you get ready to retire. You've got a house. Your whole goal in life was to pay that house off in full so that you wouldn't lose it. But you still have taxes. You still have insurance. You still have maintenance and repair. The cost of operating a residence doesn't go away when you pay off the mortgage. Sure, you don't pay interest anymore. Sure, you don't pay principal anymore. But what is that principal doing for you in that house right now? Think about that for a second. What is it doing for you? It doesn't pay you any money. In fact, you pay every month on it to taxes and insurance. It may grow equity-wise. That would be nice. Sometimes it does. In fact, many times it does. But it's not giving you anything to live on. So as you go to live, you think to yourself, what can I live on if my job goes away? Do I live on my 401k? Do I live on my house? What do you live on? Social Security is so minuscule. I had a guy send me things. My wife's Social Security is like $5,000 a month. I go, there's no way your Social Security is $5,000 a month. I make millions of dollars, pay in millions of dollars of taxes. My Social Security is only like $3,300, $3,400. And I didn't take it at 65. I'm 68, going to be 70 pretty soon. Mine's $3,500. He said, well, she's got a TSP, a teacher's pension. Well, that's a whole different animal, buddy. Not everybody has a TSP. So even then, $5,000 a month, although it's better than nothing, is not a lot in this day and age. 20 years ago, that would have been nice. That would have been real nice. I think I retired with $5,000 a month. And she said, well, Del, how do you retire on $5,000 a month, 34 years ago, 35? Well, because my cost of living was low, and because the way I earned the $3,500 a month or the $5,000 a month was through real estate investing, which meant I paid no taxes, no income tax on it, no Social Security, no Medicare. And if you pay no taxes and you net $5,000 a month, you might put a lid on it. I did. But every year after that, because I continued to add assets that paid dividends and distributions and income, I made more money every year. Now I make quite a bit. But it didn't happen because I just decided to do it. There's an interesting story out there. There was a guy out there that tried to do what I do. He's tried it twice in his life, actually. He told me one time he was going to go into business and take my business away. And he tried it and he failed, went broke, lost all of his employees. Well, recently, because the marketplace is so good to buy real estate again, because the prices are so low, he said, I'm going to do it again. He thought that the market being the ripe for being able to buy real estate deals again like it is now, that he'd just go ahead and do it. And he hired a bunch of people, mostly my ex-employees, and put a duplicate business together. And I got a call yesterday, and they said, this guy went out of business. And I said, of course he did, because what he thinks is totally wrong. He thinks he can go set up a company, hire a bunch of people, pay them super high wages to get them to quit me and go over there, and somehow that's going to make company that works. But he doesn't have the basis of the company. He doesn't have the heart of the company, which is the cash flow. It's been accumulated over 35 years of doing this. He doesn't see that. He doesn't understand that. And now he's gone again. So here we are in our lives. We're aging out. Some of us aged out early. I aged out in my 30s. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week anymore. And I said, I got to find a way. And I aged out at a very early age. And I went and found a way to create passive income that I could live on. And I did it through single family houses to start with. And so a lot of people do what this kid did. I call him a kid because he's 20 years younger than me. He figured, I'll just go build it. And a lot of kids nowadays figure they'll just go build it. They're going to go build an internet business. They're going to go do this. They're going to go do that. It's all something of nothing, instantaneously, gratificationally diseased. I have another guy that tried to copy my business. And he was going broke, so his daughter started doing online porn. It's funny because she actually admits it. She's got videos of her online talking about how her father couldn't keep her employed anymore in his business. And so she had to go to online porn. And she's making good money doing online porn. And then she admits she's perfected it into porn, too. But the bottom line is that, again, the structure of the business is wrong. The cash flow is not there. The long-term health of the business doesn't work in the same manner that your long-term investments in your life don't work very well, if at all. And you think about this, you know, what have you done to put retirement at your front door? When are you going to see that you can't work hard for the rest of your life? Why don't you have passive income in your life? Why have you evaded that situation completely? And what do you need to do to get started? So there's lots of forms of passive income. A savings account is passive income. A money market account is passive income. There's rental properties. It's passive income. There are commercial rental properties that are passive income. And I've done all these things and have all these things. They all are out there making me money one way or another. Owning a business you started and were smart enough to figure out how to not run anymore and either sell it to somebody and get distributions from that or to have somebody else just operate it and you own it is another way to have passive income, although that would be considered earned income in most cases the way the tax man would consider it. But for you, it could be very little work for a sizable amount of money. So you trying to plan and put together your approach, right? And many people think, well, I'm a painter. I'm going to start a painting company. I'm just using that for an example. It has nothing to do with this. And then I'll go and get some customers. And when I get some customers, then I'll hire some painters. And then I'll just oversee it. And then all of a sudden, you do that. And you realize that people don't show up and you have to work for them. Or you mess up the jobs because the people you hired are not that good. You have employee problems. You get employee lawsuits. You have to do accounting. Somebody has to do the accounting for the business. It has to be right. You have to pay the bills. All of a sudden, you're the board of directors all the way down to being a paint guy yourself. And thinking that because work was what did it for me my whole life. I always worked and work did it. I'm just going to figure out another way to work. As I get older, I'll just keep working. That's always the plan. I see it all the time. I was with a couple ladies last night. We went to a restaurant and just so happened to sit at the restaurant bar because we like to see the TVs and watch the sports while we eat. And struck up a conversation with these ladies, and one of them was 70 years old, and the other one was 61 years old. And the 61-year-old was still working. The 70-year-old was I don't know what she was doing, man. She was miserable. She's going through her fourth divorce, and she was unhappy. And the girl that was 61, she's in a relationship she didn't really like. You could tell she was unhappy with where she was at in life. But as I listened to them tell me about their lives, they had no structure that they put together. There was no plan. And they had just wallowed into 70. And the lady said something very interesting. It's what struck the whole conversation up for me as I was sitting there. And she said, you know, when you're 70, you got to go get it. I'm thinking, what do you mean you got to go get it? I thought she was talking about go out and get yourself a guy and get some sex or something. So I thought, it's why it struck, it just caught my attention, you know. And I said, you know, I have to listen to this conversation after that. And she said, okay. And so they brought me in the conversation. What she's talking about is that, hey, when you get to be 70, you better get something going. And I'm thinking, 70, you better get something going? And she goes, yeah, I'm noticing my friends, you know, are pretty good in their 60s, but by the time they get to be 70, they start slowing down. They start getting, she said, different types of ailments and different types of physical problems, and they start slowing down. And then when they're in their 80s, they're almost diminished. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I felt that at 40. I felt that at 50. You know, I felt that at 60. Every 10 years, you feel diminished from what you were before, unless you're an athlete, unless you really work out and stay in shape. And I work out pretty hard, and I stay in relatively good shape. But yet I still see it. I had a friend that went in for a hip replacement the other day. Now he can't walk. He's got all kinds of problems. I've lost multiple friends in the last couple of years, in their 70s, even in their 60s, actually. People are dying all around us when you get this age. But in her mind, 70, she had just figured it out. 70 was the age you better start putting something together. And I'm sitting there going, I've been retired since, I didn't say this to her, by the way, either of them, I said. But in my brain, I go, I've been retired since I was 34 years old. 35 years now, I've been retired. 34 and a half, whatever it is. And I'm sitting here thinking, God, I would just like to just tell these ladies something. But I didn't, because, you know, you don't go out in public and talk shop to people you don't know. My wife was there. She was thinking the same thing. You know, how do you just wake up and smell the roses at 70 years of age? Don't you think that's a little late? Now, obviously, if you are 70 and you're smelling the roses, you better figure it out. Yeah, you got, like she said, I start seeing people have problems in their 70s and be totally diminished in their 80s. Well, that gives you a pretty foundational view of what's going to happen. And she's probably feeling it also at that point. But I was sitting there, been retired for 35 years, going, phew, man, that's why I'm talking today. The world doesn't get it. All you need to do to be retired is, number one, replace your earned income with passive streams of income. And here's number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Stop paying for other people. The one of the ladies that was 61, she's been married like 3 times. The other lady's on her 4th marriage. She's getting divorced right now. And what was commonplace between these two friends was they kept picking up men that were losers. And when I say loser, they go, well, what do they do? And my wife's right on the truth. So what did that guy do? Because, you know, they're talking about this husband, then another husband, then another. Well, what did that guy do? And what did that guy do? And they really couldn't tell you. It was like, well, he used to be this and he was that. And you could see what's happening. They're getting up and going to work every day and supporting some guy because they work so hard. They've got some cash flow. They find a guy who doesn't work hard and he sucks the cash flow out of them. What does that do? Well, that means you can't ever get anywhere. Your cash flow is being siphoned off by these other people. So some people, it's their boyfriends and girlfriends that siphon the money out of their life. Some people, it's their kids. It's amazing to me how many people have their kids in their 30s living with them. And in some cases, they have both the husband and the wife, you know, the son or the daughter and their spouse. And in some cases, they have their spouse and their kids living with them and or living off of them, if not with them. And when I see this, it becomes apparent to me, there's no way for these guys to get ahead. They can't put any money aside. They're spending every penny they make. So when you're in that situation, you're going to have to just stop and go, wait a minute, how did I get myself into this situation? You need to think about it. I need to reverse some of the things that I've done. Now, what I'm going to cover here in the next segment is what should you do? How do you produce passive streams of income? What is realistic? Because you're working with a set amount of money that you have created in your life. I want to look at that. We need to discuss that in the next segment. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show. We'll be right back.
reaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing how people get themselves in situations where they can't retire and end up working into their 70s. As with the people that I met at the restaurant the other day, they're going to work for the rest of their life. There's really no other way. They don't see any other way. It doesn't make any sense. So let's talk about the other side of this. How do you do this? And what most people don't realize, they have lots of money, or lots is probably a bad word for it. They have money they don't know they have, or they don't realize they can get to it, whatever. And so they don't think they have the money to get started. Secondly, they don't think they have any credit, although most of them do, or have a way to get to credit of some type and use credit of some type. And what you really need to do is take whatever amount of money you can get your hands on and leverage up and get as much income as you can. I started with single family houses. And back when I started, interest rates were very, very high. I think they were around 9 to 12%. So my cash flows were very small. First four houses I bought, the cash flow was $220 each. I bought them all within about 30 days of each other. So all of a sudden I had $880 a month cash flow. You say, well, that doesn't sound like very much. Well, look, do you have $880 a month cash flow coming in? That's positive cash flow. That's not how much the rent was. That's how much I got to keep. And all of a sudden I could see, wow, $880 in my pocket every month. I said, what if I could double that? I thought, wow, I need to do that. So I went out and bought four more, and I doubled it. And I did it again. I got up to like 12 or 13 houses, and I think I was making probably $2,000, $2,500 a month. And I go, man, this is really interesting stuff. And nowadays, the interest rates are lower than that, and the prices are higher. And because the prices are higher, the cash flow is more. It's more like $400 or $500 a month positive cash flow each house. So if you have eight houses, you know, and you go, well, gosh, that's eight houses. What do you do? How do you manage that? There was nothing to it. If you do all the work right, you do all the renovations up front so you don't have anything to fix, they don't have anything to call you about. You put a tenant in there that you screened very, very, very scrutinized completely. That person just moves in and pays rent. You put a bad person in, which most people do because they don't know how to screen, they don't know how to do this stuff, and then that person's a pain in their butt for the rest of their lease term. Many of them you have to evict. So you or the people you've known in the past or know now, your family, have tried this and did it wrong. And because you did it wrong, it didn't work. And that's the problem. The first thing you need to do is get in here, get signed up, and get the education and information to be able to do it the correct way, to get yourself a mentor to help you, to answer your questions for you. That's the first step of all this stuff. You got to learn how to do it. Then we've got to go get your money. And your money's in all different places. We have to help you find it by talking to you, by looking at your financial statement. And then you need to get it out. There's steps you take. Then we need to get you with a finance company to find out what kind of financing you can use. And then we start buying you things that pay passive income to you the rest of your life. Now, I did houses for a while. And then I go, this is pretty neat. I've got like, I think it was 11 houses I got up to. And then I go, you know what? I can do this faster than that. Point I started buying duplexes and fourplexes. I mean, a duplex could make me, because you buy them so much cheaper than a regular house, but you rent them for almost the same thing. So I was making, you know, let's say $400 a month each side of a duplex, so I could pick up $800 a month more in one building, one purchase. And it didn't cost that much more than the single family house. And then I went to fourplexes. Oh my gosh, fourplexes. I could make $1,000 a month on each fourplex. Easy. And so I started adding larger and larger chunks to my total of monthly income. I remember one deal, I bought three fourplexes together, right? Another deal, I bought five duplexes together. And that was another thing I found is that when you started buying these more commercial-like properties, you were buying them from commercial-like sellers, and you could buy them in groups. Now, I got a lot of them owner finance because people look at me and go, man, you're really successful. You're doing very well at this. I want to sell this. Nobody can really come up with the money or the loan to get it. And that's the funny thing about this is that when you're talking about low-end housing, and really we're not talking about $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 homes, what you're thinking you're going to rent out. No, you're going to be renting out stuff that's $200,000 and below. And you go, well, in my neighborhood or my area, that will buy you a shack. Well, then that's what you need to own is shacks because that's what people rent. They rent properties that are $2,000 a month and below. They don't rent $2,500, $3,000, $5,000. If you try to do that, you're going to have stuff sitting around vacant. People don't get that, right? So we've got these people that move in, don't want to move out. They're happy to have a place to live. They're happy to pay for rent because they can't get in anywhere else. Different class of people. These are people that want to be tenants and are going to stay that way. And I just started buying these things in groups. The largest group I ever bought was I bought 15 duplexes at one time, which is 30 units. Now, I did buy 45 townhouses one time in a townhouse subdivision, but I bought them in groups of like, I think I bought them 10 at a time, 20 at a time, something like that. In other words, I had one investor in there that owned like 10 of them. I'd buy him out. And then when I found out there was other investors in there, I went to them and said, hey, why don't you sell me your stuff too? And I bought them out. And I ended up with 45 of these townhouses in this subdivision. So I've done that. But all this is still single family housing of one version or not. Of single family, duplex, triplex, or fourplex are all single family houses. They all purchase the same way. The loans are the same. The financing's the same. And I was able to produce quite an income for myself working with just single family housing. And then one day it happened. I bought an apartment complex. And man, it blew my mind. Because depending on the size of the apartment complex, and my theory was every time I buy something, I'm going to buy something that produces more than anything else I've ever purchased and owned. Produced so I could learn to grow my portfolio into a much larger and more successful organization. And so I remember I went out and bought an apartment complex. First one I bought was a 20 unit. Man, it's amazing. One person, one place, one manager runs it all. And all of a sudden I don't have to go over there. I don't have to lease. I don't have to screen the tenants. Although in the 20 unit, I still felt like I needed to. I wanted to do it because I wanted to make sure there was good people going in there. But I didn't have to show them the units. I had somebody there. They showed them the units. Somebody had a maintenance complaint. They didn't call me. They called the manager. The manager called our contractor. Just like if a rent house would call me, I don't go do the repairs. I called a contractor. Well, now at the 20 unit, the manager calls the contractor. I don't even call the contractor. And I thought, this is great. But what was great is that all of a sudden, out of one piece of real estate, I was making $10,000 a month. I go, man, think of that. 20 times 500, $10,000 a month. That's an amazing situation. And right then and there, I was basically said, I don't need any more. I had all my houses over here and my duplexes and my fourplexes. Now I had an apartment. I go, this is incredible. But for some reason, I sought to grow. And I think it's because I'd already secured my retirement 2.5 years after getting into this at 34 years of age. I had nothing to do. And I was making pretty good money, way more than I was making when I had a job. And so I thought, okay, let me see what I could do. And then it happened. I bought a 64-unit apartment complex. Now, I think I put about $100,000 down. He said, well, where'd you get $100,000? Well, I had all these houses. And so some people take all those houses, all that equity, go to a bank and get a cross-collateralization loan. Some people go and get it on credit cards. Some people I did. I bought one apartment complex, a 68-unit apartment complex on 27 credit cards. Assumed the loan that was there and got the down payment money out of credit cards. Another whole story. But on this one here, I just went around and pulled money out of stuff I had. I had a couple houses with dumb as a rock that were, you know, free and clear. I just put debt on them and got the money. And when I bought this thing, the value of an apartment complex is based on its income. And the guy who owned this thing before I did had done nothing. It's an interesting, interesting story because the guy was the brother of a multi-millionaire. And he owned hotels, casinos, all kinds of stuff. But this was the dumb little brother. And when the father, who had been wealthy and rich, died, he told the older son, who now inherited this family's fortune, you got to take care of your little brother. So he bought him this apartment complex, this little 64-unit apartment complex, and gave it to him. He paid cash for it. There was no mortgage on it. And the guy made whatever he made, $40,000 a month, $50,000 a month, because there was no mortgage. But the guy never did anything with it. He had somebody manage it, some old lady managing it, who really didn't care. And his rents were like $300 a month. I kid you not. And some of them might have been as high as $400 a month. So the one bedrooms might have been $300, the two bedrooms might have been $400, but they should have been $500 and $600. So when I took the place over, I got rid of the manager that he had. I put another manager in there, and we raised all the rents. He said, well, everybody would leave then. No, they didn't. Some people left because we asked them to leave, but we raised all the rents. And then we did some maintenance and repair to the building. It hadn't been done for 10 years. This guy had owned it for 10 years and never done anything with it. He was just sucking the money out of it. And his brother finally got mad at him. He said, look, you were supposed to pay me back. You were supposed to go over there and double the value of this thing, pull our money out of it, give me back the money, and have debt on it. And he never did it. So his brother finally said, look, I'll sell it to somebody else. I got to get rid of this. And I convinced him to sell it to me. And I convinced him to sell it to me on an owner finance note. And I said, look, I'll give you a $900,000 note, give you 100 grand of my own money, and I'll go in there and I'll fix this thing up. And because he could look at what I already had, all my real estate holdings, he could talk to the mortgage guys that were on my other houses and duplexes and fourplexes. Many of them were personal financial notes where the seller just sold it to me owner financed because they liked getting payments from me. It was like a retirement fund for them. He talked to all those people and he came back because, you know, I've never had anybody I've done business with that had the glowing reports from other people, from their debtors, that you pay not only on time, you actually mess them up because you pay sometimes early. I go, yeah, I just like to get all my bills out by the first of the month, so I just pay everything on like the 29th or 30th, 31st, something like that. I go, some people get that check in the mail. They don't know which month it's for. Is it early for this month or is it late for last month? I don't know. And they have such terrible accounting, they can't figure it out. But I know I'm paying my stuff on time, or, you know, that's the way I pay. And the guy goes, man, okay, I'll finance this for you. He says, but I don't want to hold it. I've been holding this thing for my brother for, you know, 10 years. I say, hey, look, give me 2 years. Give me owner finance, 2 years. I'll pay you off. I'll get it done. And he goes, okay, I trust you. I think you will. And if you don't, I'm going to take it back from you, and you'll be out your money. I go, yeah, I understand how it works. And so I took it over, and I increased all the rents, and I actually doubled his value from $1 million to $2 million. So I went to the bank. And I borrowed, I think it was 80%, 70% or whatever that would be. So let's say 80% of $2 million at the time would be 80 times 2, would be 16, $1.6 million. So I borrowed $1.6 million on it. I paid him back the $900,000 I owed him. And all of a sudden in my pocket was this $700,000. And I'd never seen $700,000. Do you understand that? Never had I in one place at one time seen $700,000, but there it was in my hands, $700,000. And it was then and there that I realized what I've been missing in real estate was I was buying it only for cash flow, and that there were millions of dollars of capital gains that had accrued into my real estate. And all I needed to do was to start rotating it. And so I did. I started taking the single family houses and selling them. And every time I sold one or two or three of them, in fact, I sold groups of them. I remember I sold four to one guy. It was the first four I bought. They were all in the same subdivision. I go, I'll sell you these four. Guy bought four of them. And then I sold the five duplexes together. I sold that. Boom, there was 10 more of them. And as I went through, I sold the 15 duplex property together. And that was 30 more units. Boom. And every time I was walking away with large sums of money, and I needed something to do with that money. So the very next thing I did was I bought the one right across the street from you, from the 64 unit. It was a 68 unit. And I bought it with 27 credit cards. I assumed the loan that he had. I put down the down payment credit. So why did you do that? I had all this cash now. And I did it just to prove I could do it, because at that time I had Lifestyles Unlimited. I wanted to prove that you could do stuff even if you had to use a lot of credit, because credit is really the secret to getting rich. You have to have that leverage. So I did it for fun. I went to the bank president that I had my money in. I said, well, I'm going to do this. He goes, you can't do that. I go, yeah, I can. Watch me do it. And I showed him the spreadsheet. And I bought it. I turned it around, and then I refinanced it out and made money on it again. Then I bought an 88 unit right down the street, did the same thing, not with credit cards this time, just I had money, cash now. And so I just went and put $300,000 down on that property and got a mortgage on it, and owner finance mortgage on that one also. Because guys, these old guys, they want monthly payments. They don't want to just give it up and have nothing and pay taxes on it all. They love owner financing. And so I go find these old guys that had these properties that have been run down, and I turn them around. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I was a millionaire. Literally. And that, my friends, is what you need to think about the rest of the day. Remember, it's not just having the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.